And welcome to everybody here on YouTube for Off the Hook Overtime. I think we all made it. Alex, you back?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm probably gonna peel off a little bit early today from overtime since I'm still stuck in the office.
I think that's an option. Yeah, you're in it for the long haul, pal.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Rob, how about you? Everything okay on your end? Yeah. We're actually on the air. Thank you for holding the sign up. You could also say it. It's good to know.
We're actually on the air.
On the air, which technically isn't air, but it's fine. And Kyle, you're right here, so you made it.
I think you mean on the light.
Yeah, yeah.
What, on the tubes.
Our viewers just dropped in half. What happened? That was weird. We had a bunch, and now we have half. And I wonder, did we do something to knock them off? If so, you know, tell us what to do to fix it. And yeah, it keeps going down. I don't understand YouTube. Don't really want to understand YouTube, but we are definitely broadcasting, right?
We are indeed.
Okay. Our phone number is 802-321-4225. Anything else on the artificial intelligence? Because I think this is going to become more and more of an issue as the years go by.
I just want to add that it might be something that is recognized as a tool that the intellectual signing on this or the company would not have been able to come up with without that tool. In other words, it was sort of integral to the formation of the intellectual property at issue. But I don't even know. I was just thinking off the top of my head when we were discussing it. We have a call.
We have a call. Go ahead, Rob. We'll take the call.
We have generations of inventors on the books who might have used an electronic calculator to help figure out their invention, and the calculator itself is not the inventor.
Right, but you know, somebody had to invent these things, like, you know, calculators or artificial intelligence or whatever. And I think maybe, you know, if you invent a tool and that tool helps you get somewhere else, I think you're still the person that invented it.
I'm not as sure about that as I think the tools are changing, mm-hmm. and we're sort of maintaining them, but there are aspects of this that I think we could explore that are just really, really different than just, say, an adding machine per se. I'm not an expert. I have no idea. Maybe some callers have some insight. I think there is a distinction here worth looking at.
I mean, though, a computer is just basically an adding machine. It's taking numbers and right, doing things with them. And robots, you know, adding physical action to that. It's going to get interesting. Alex, I hope you're ready as a lawyer to deal with some fascinating cases down the road.
Yeah, well, you know, frankly, this is an issue, I think, that Congress would have to address, because the ruling here seems like it was based on the language of the Patent Act itself, which uses the term individual, mm-hmm. if I recall correctly. And that can be changed. If Congress wants to allow artificial intelligence to claim patent rights, it can do that very easily by amending the statute. But insofar as the courts go, you know, even an activist judge, I think, would be reluctant to read ownership rights into the word individual for something as novel as artificial intelligence. And I think it's precisely for the reasons that Rob had identified earlier, which is that we are not yet at the stage where a computer or a computer program or an individual can be considered an individual, you know, with consciousness and with associated rights and responsibilities of being an individual.
You know, I see you cross-examining a robot on the stand at some point in your career. And I think we're heading towards this. I know a lot of science fiction programs have already tackled this issue, so maybe we should see how they resolved it before we deal with it firsthand. Let's take this call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Hello?
Yes, you're
I'm
on.
I'm doing great. This
you're
is
on the air.
This is Kirby calling from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
You're the guy in the museum, right?
Yeah,
okay.
I work in museums and different galleries and such.
Uh-huh. He echoes our show through the empty hallways.
Yeah, during the morning maintenance routines, uh-huh. Your shows have definitely played through the empty hallways and cavernous galleries.
Wow. Well, we'll have to visit sometime and see these amazing hallways. So what's on your mind tonight?
Well, first of all, can I have a couple of shout-outs?
Go ahead.
Shout-out to Joe, Critter, Sparrow, Tuxedo, Moop, Walter in Bricktown, and also just a bit of a shout-out to the people of Soggy and Shores. On Lake Huron, there was quite a weather event last night, and they had a lot of damage, a lot of trees down, and a lot of power outage, so I hope they're recuperating okay.
Just a weather event? It wasn't a particular storm? It just happened?
Well, I mean, like it was one heck of a storm, and some parts of it there was a tornado, and
oh, wow.
It came through. Yeah, it came through like a train, but at this point, I don't really know exactly what happened or how much damage is.
I didn't know Canada. I didn't know Canada even had tornadoes. You know, I thought that was an American thing. Canadians they're taking all the bad things of America now: anti-vaxxers and now tornadoes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we definitely have our share of tornadoes, but I guess the geography doesn't permit as quite as many. But I mean, there's parts of Canada in the center and the west, and as well as in Ontario that have had their fair share of extreme weather. So,
wow. Well, I hope everybody up there is okay. I can attest to the effects of violent weather firsthand. It's not pretty.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess to keep things back on topic, the main reason I called was because it's a bit of a confession, but a couple of weeks ago I was phished via email.
Oh, dear.
And I consider myself to be a fairly astute, you know, security-conscious person, but somebody hacked a friend's email account and asked me for help.
Oh, wow.
And I offered it to them. Yeah. And the main point of all this is I just want to say, if anybody ever emails you for help, of any kind, just try to verify it through uh-huh. another channel
uh-huh.
before you send them, you know, $400 in Google Play cards or whatever you're going to end up sending them. Because somebody actually hacked the email account, so it wasn't just like a strange email. It was like a continuation of an email chain, you know. So it was quite elaborate.
Wait, you're saying that they injected themselves into an existing chain of communication that you were having?
Well, because they actually hacked the person's Gmail account.
So wow, okay.
This phishing attempt actually went back into conversations and continued them.
Interesting. That's a bit of sophistication I haven't seen before. Sometimes what you see is somebody's name, but if you look at the email address, it's not yahoo.com, it's something dot something dot something else, but it's the right name. And they have the contact list, so they're contacting all the people and asking something that seems believable, but you know, usually it's the same kind of story where somebody got into trouble in a foreign country, and now the hotel manager won't let them leave, and they need money to pay for their room. It's kind of a bizarre circumstance, but it's usually something like that. What was the situation that was believable in your case?
It was a family birthday, and the person leveraged the fact that the person was out of province. And so they knew that, I knew that, so asking for help while somebody was kind of incommunicado, and the person was incommunicado,
uh-huh.
So it was almost like, okay, they can't figure out what's going on for the next little while, so now's my chance or something. But it was basically a birthday gift that needed to be quickly purchased because of a promise.
Wow. So if they could have added
Sounds
something,
silly.
Well, no, it's not. If they could have added something where, you know, don't call me because if you call me, it'll ruin the surprise or something like that. You know, they might actually mm-hmm. be able to get a lot more. I don't want to help them, but I'm just thinking of ways that could make this even worse.
And Kirby, your guard is already down mm-hmm. because
yeah.
they know you're trusting your own conversation.
Yes.
And they've already broken into it. So it's, you're beyond making up something or pasting something believable. This is the conversation.
Alex, did you have something?
Yeah, I want to say to Kirby, I think it is right, is that, you know, I think it's courageous of you to come forward and say that you were phished as well. That takes guts. And I think it is also an indication that these scams are more and more sophisticated, and there's no shame and having fallen for one of them. And getting the word out about it is really the hacker spirit mentality, I think, that we want to encourage from everybody who is a victim of these, because they are getting increasingly sophisticated, harder to spot. And like you said, interjecting themselves into a pre-existing conversation is pivoting on a certain level of trust that you already have implicit with the account that was compromised. And so this is, I think, is a great service that you're doing in acknowledging that you got phished, because, look, it happens to everybody, and it happens to security professionals. It happens to hackers, too.
Yeah, and
it happens to everybody.
Thank you for saying you got phished and not you got hacked, because this is not what hacking is about. You know, hackers can recognize these things and figure them out, or maybe even come up with the idea in the first place. But when you actually do something like this, it's criminal activity. It's stealing, and it's wrong.
Well, to be honest, I do enjoy a little fishing, so I'm a little sensitive about that term, too. But
yes, but at least it's spelled differently.
Yeah, it's true. I'm just kidding.
Wow. Well, I hope it wasn't too painful. And did your friend get their Gmail account back?
It seems like things are kind of on the up and up now, but I said, you know, you deal with your problem, I'll deal with mine at this point.
Wow.
But I had one more thing I wanted to mention if you had time.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Bell stole my copper phone line back a couple of months ago.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know. Bell Canada, of course. Mm-hmm. So I suddenly had this phone problem where the phone wasn't working, but it was my emergency copper line, so I didn't really want to call them because I knew I'd be on the other phone for 3 hours and then I'd have to be here all day waiting for somebody to show up and explain everything three times.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't really pay much attention to it. And when the tech came yesterday, he told me that the copper line has been converted over to the fiber phone.
Oh,
the number has been converted over to the fiber. And get this, nothing can be done because the system will turn it back at midnight.
The system,
and so I said, what
huh?
do you mean nothing can be done? Yeah. So apparently they're insinuating to me that the Bell phone system is in control of the entire operation, that technicians have no control over what happens, because at some point in the night, the phone will be converted back to – the number will be converted back to a fiber number.
This is why you can't let artificial intelligence win in court, Alex, okay? Just remember that, because they'll just turn things off and reset them at midnight.
Yeah, well, maybe my first case will be against the system.
I'm real sorry to hear that, because, you know, the copper line, that's what gets you through these storms. It's always there. You know, your fiber optic might be nice, but the battery's going to run out after a couple of hours because it's not in the central office.
That's the thing, and that was the whole point. So now I have to battle them for the fact that they turned off my phone and didn't even tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, there wasn't an emergency, right?
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it's. I think it's sign of the times, and I just kind of have to give in because I can't fight this computer.
Well, I think speaking out is a good idea, because, like, what Ida has shown us in New Orleans is that landlines are important. And if you get rid of those, when something happens, something catastrophic, and all the cell towers are out or people don't have power to charge their own phones, there's no way to communicate. Whereas a landline, it's there because it's powered in the central office and the actual wires are more resilient. So it's a lesson I think we're still learning, and hopefully they'll reach some kind of an arrangement where parts of the old network remain, such as, you know, a payphone that's easily accessible in every community. I've noticed that in Canada. Driving through various communities, there seems to always be one visible phone booth in mm-hmm. many towns. You don't see that in the States as much. And I think that's a really good idea, is to have something where you know there's going to be a landline connection. And if you have to walk a bit to get to it, okay, but at least there's something.
And, you know, sometimes it's relaxing just to sit in the payphone and talk on it and not have this hot phone under your ear.
That's true, too.
And especially up in the country and stuff. It really is nice.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But anyways, guys, I'll let you go and I'll let somebody else call in. And nice to hear from everybody. Rob, you sound like you got a new microphone or something. Sound good?
Well, it's my same old one, but I'm sitting in a different place in my apartment. So maybe I should do that more
better
often.
Better acoustics. Okay. Well, yeah, I agree. He sounds better this week. Curry, great to hear from you, and keep listening.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Our phone number, 802-321-4225. I don't move fast enough, that noise happens. 802-321-4225. Thank you. Thank you, Kyle.
I was perhaps a little hasty. I'm sorry about that.
We have another phone call.
Try to keep these calls going.
Speaking of hacked Gmail accounts, did I tell you? Gmail thought my account was hacked. One of my accounts was hacked. We lost Wi-Fi, you know, for about a day or so. I don't know how this ties in. Maybe because something automatically logs in on a browser someplace. But both Google and Facebook freaked out when we reconnected and said, your account has been compromised. Not you know, is this you? Or any, well, they actually did ask that question, but it came after the statement, your account has your password is in somebody else's hands. No, it's not. I know exactly what happened. We simply auto-logged in to Facebook and to Gmail like we're supposed to do. But on each of them, I had to go through all these steps and get lectured as to how to keep things more secure when it was completely unnecessary. Facebook even made me change passwords. And then they wouldn't connect properly because they were still somehow using the old password on other utilities. And it turned into an hour of my time for something that never had to happen in the first place. So, yeah, you know, occasionally Gmail accounts get hacked, but sometimes it's worse when they don't, when they think they did. Such a pain in the ass. That ever happened to you guys?
No, but obviously you're also angering the robots now. and on that note, I just got pinged by our colleague Junes, who works behind the scenes with us on this program and any number of things, and who's listening to the program, and pinged to let us know that South Africa and Australia have both awarded the patent to the AI.
Oh, God, it's begun.
So
it's too late. It's too late, Alex. We should have moved faster on this. Oh, no.
Yeah. Look, it raises so many issues, too, but it might have to do with, you know, the language of whatever their patent act or their statute is that's at issue. But then also, I was thinking about this when Kirby was on the line and we were talking about the quote-unquote system resetting his lines. And what we were talking about earlier with respect to diversity jurisdiction, right? Then where does this AI reside? Of what state? Is it a citizen?
Yeah, is it paying taxes?
Can you sue that AI?
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, it just raises so many additional issues to grant those types of rights to a thing.
I mean, we're going to have all kinds of legal nightmares when we meet aliens, you know, from other places. Like, no, yes. Seriously, there are companies, you know, like Sony and CBS, and they already have plans for how copyright will work. You know, how they will get content on other planets, and they've thought this through. If you look in legal documents, you've seen this. All universes, right? That's in there.
That's right.
All universes.
Yeah. that is true. And for all times in perpetuity, from the beginning of the universe till its end, all kinds of crazy language about time and space can be inserted into various copyright licenses and things. It's interesting.
Yeah, all known, of course. That's a nice one. Leaving open the possibility of unknown ones.
Yeah, of course. Well, you think Klingons are going to respect our copyright laws? I mean, think carefully. Yeah. Well, you're starting a conflict. You don't have to start.
If we get to the point of talking copyright law, I think that's progress.
Yeah. Seriously, if Klingons are watching pirated copies of Moby Dick, I think that's your least of your problems. All right. Let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, Emmanuel.
It's Rebel again. Wow.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
I just got back from spending the whole month of August touring Europe, various places like Holland and Amsterdam.
That's right.
Amsterdam,
you said you were going, and you did. How about that?
Yeah,
a month went by.
Holland and Germany and France and where else did I go? Germany, France, Holland.
Well, let's name
London.
Countries. Belarus,
well,
maybe?
Austria?
No. The
Italy?
UK, Holland,
Andorra?
Germany, France. No, I didn't go there. I'd like to go to some other places next year, maybe.
How was it?
But I like
how was it?
I remember it was good. I remember when you used to say back in the 90s that Holland and Amsterdam was so efficient and everything is so clean. And I really noticed that. Amsterdam, I think, was my favorite because it was so clean and the metros are so nice and clean and efficient. You can hear the announcements and the stations are nice. And But France, Paris, I mean, London was okay, but Paris is, you know, is okay. I mean, London's just like New York City, and I mean...
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
And there were, you know what I did when I was in London? There's these train stations, all right? So we have Grand Central and Penn Station. They have, like, maybe five.
Yeah, they have a lot. They have a lot of big stations.
Okay, and there's this one called King's Cross where they have pay phones. And I, you know, to get the operator there, you got to dial something like 100 or something like that. And then to get, like, long distance, you got to dial, like, 102 or something like that. So I said, you know, I want to call the United States Collect. And I gave them my cell phone number. So, and it worked. I called myself Collect. And, you know, the people in King's Cross are looking at this, you know, American tourist talking to himself on a
you wait, you called yourself Collect in London?
Well, just to see.
Through the United States. That's awesome. That is a hack right there. How much did you wind up charging yourself, by the way?
I don't know if I got that, because usually if I can't make a collect call to my cell phone from the United States, it won't work. Because number one, they don't, AT&T and local bell operating companies, well, at least Verizon doesn't do collect calls anymore.
But, I didn't know that. They don't do collect calls anymore. I haven't made a collect call in ages.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Did not know that, no.
Oh, really?
Wow.
If you dial a zero for local Verizon operator or, you know, an AT&T operator.
Haven't done that either.
Yeah, but they do not do collect third number. They don't do verification, beginning verification, or.
Well, what's left for them to do then?
I don't know. I asked them. I called them and asked them. They said, you know, we help people place calls. Like, that can't place. I mean, people have cell phones, and, you know, there's no more pay phones. Pay phones are, like, you know, disappearing. They took out the last pay phone in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I know. It's sad.
Yeah, it really is. I mean,
but let's get back to happy things. So you're calling yourself Collect there in King's Cross, which is an awesome station, by the way, right next to another station, St. Pancras, which is interesting.
Yeah, I know that there's two stations there. I remember that. And I call Collect. I mean, I just spoke for like a minute or so just to see if it worked. And I don't know if I'll even get billed, or maybe I will, maybe I won't.
How long was the delay when you were speaking to yourself?
Maybe a second or so.
Okay, not that bad.
Or two.
Uh-huh.
You know.
So what else did you notice?
There's a lot of payphones in London. Some of them don't work. And, you know, the train stations are, you know, very efficient. The announcements are, you know, good. And let's see, what else? But I mean, my favorite was Amsterdam, though.
And you rode the underground, of course.
I rode the underground, of course, yep. And the other thing was very hot. They don't have air conditioning. That's
true. No, it's a very good point. They don't have air conditioning in their trains, and as a result, it's warmer. But it's not as hot as New York City subway platforms, because those get hotter because of the air conditioning on the trains, and it's a lot more unpleasant. So it's generally hot throughout the system, but not unbearably hot, at least not yet.
Right, and then I went to visit the Oxford University and the old building.
Alex, didn't you go to Oxford University?
I did indeed.
To Oxford? Yep. No. Oxford
yeah, he University went to Oxford, so you are stomping on his
who
old
went to Oxford?
Alex
who
did.
Went to Oxford? Really?
I went to Oxford, Rebel. I have a law degree from Oxford called the BCL.
You went to London, to England for that? Oh, that's...
Mention that. A building so that we know that the two of you are talking about the same place.
There's the Bodleian, there's Radcliffe Camera. I was at...
Well, you can't both be talking at the same time, though. You have to listen to each other.
Yeah, okay. The Radcliffe Camera.
I is still not doing it. Okay, Alex, you talk first.
Okay. There's the Radcliffe Camera, the Bodleian. I was a member of New College Oxford, which is a bit of a misnomer.
That's enough. Now, Rebel, you say something.
I don't remember those, but I do remember I have a video. I recorded it with my phone. You know, I just went to see the old buildings, the old ancient buildings from like hundreds of years ago. And, you know, they had these thick British accents saying, you know, would you like to go to afternoon tea and all that?
Well, that's really general. Is there anything you can say about the place that Alex would say, oh, yeah, I know that place, or just describe something?
The only thing, the place that I recognize is, not recognize, but the only place that I kind of remember is the oldest tea shop in Europe. It's like hundreds of years old.
The oldest tea
shop? I have it on video. I mean, I have a video of it. I recorded video of things.
Did I hear right? The oldest cheese shop?
No, tea shop.
Oh, tea like, shop. Tea, okay.
Like, or coffee shop or whatever.
Did you ever go to the oldest tea shop, Alex?
It could very well be in Oxford. I don't know which one that is, but there are a lot of very, very old things there. As I mentioned, my college was founded in the 14th century, and I used to live in college next to the old city wall, which was created in the 12th century. So it was amazing to me that I used to go out in this garden, and there was a wall there that had been standing for nearly four times longer than my country had existed. You know, it blows your mind in a lot of ways.
Really interesting. Then I went to Germany, and I kind of made the itinerary because I wanted to go on the Autobahn, so I drove from Berlin to Frankfurt, because Frankfurt, Lufthansa is the only airline that flies 747, or one of the few, and I wanted to take a 747 because I haven't been on one in like over 20 years.
Wow.
And so they only fly from Frankfurt to Newark, so that's what I did. I visited Berlin and then drove from Berlin to Frankfurt, and you know, on the Autobahn, and I rented a BMW on purpose so I could go 120
miles an hour.
Damn,
you did things in style, Rebel. I got to say, what do you think of Berlin?
Yeah, I really did. I liked Berlin. I mean, Frankfurt was nice. Berlin was, you know, okay. Uh-huh. Let's see. I mean, between Frankfurt and Berlin was nice. I liked the towns and the little villages in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I stayed, you know, in one of the towns, you know, in between Frankfurt and Germany and Berlin. And then I came home from Berlin, and I guess that's it. You know,
How long were you over there in total?
I left like the beginning of August, like August 7th, and I got back last week, like September 3rd or whatever.
Okay, almost a month. That's great.
That's a great yeah. duration.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. I'd like to maybe next year go like Switzerland and.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Switzerland, be prepared to pay a lot for everything. A sandwich will cost you $40 bucks, you know, for no reason.
Right. Yeah,
but conversely, if you go to a place like former Yugoslavia, Serbia, Croatia, places like that, awesome places, and things are so cheap, so, you know.
Right, yeah, I'd like to go visit, like, odd countries, like, you know,
Albania, try that.
Yeah, maybe. Albania or Kazakhstan.
It's hard to get to, but worth it.
Oh, man, I remember you mentioning that. Let's see, what else? So nobody, there's no more reporters like kinda like in the news when you look at CNN and news like or any news. Like everybody works from home now. There's no, you know how like remember there's like just news, like you have the newscaster in the news thing,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't work. There's no. You know what I mean? They're all on like Zoom calls now or whatever.
No, news desk where there's all frenetic activity.
Yeah, and there's no more news desks. That means it's just newscasters, and then when they go to talk to different reporters and different people, it's on like, you know, the Cisco WebEx or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I hope we don't stay that way, but for now, that's how things have to be.
Yeah,
the WBAI is in Brooklyn now. It keeps moving, and now that transmitter is in Times Square.
Yeah, one step ahead of us. You know, that we think we know where they are, and then they move, and they don't tell us, and we have to try and find them again. That's the nature of it. Yes, Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to bring the conversation back to something that Rebel had initially mentioned, which was the collect call issue. And I'm going to bring up a blast from the past, Rebel. Do you remember 1-800-288-2880?
288-2880.
Well, I can tell right away that's AT&T because 288 is ATT.
Right. Do you remember that one, Rebel? 1-800-288-2880?
No, 288.
It sounds like something you would have invented, Rebel.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Yes, it basically.
I remember 1-800-CALL-ATT.
Yeah, 1-800-CALL-ATT. I remember that one too.
That though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could do three way on this, but I mean,
I can dial it actually. What's really quite interesting
bring in outside operators.
Yeah, that's right.
I know that if you call 1-800-CALL-ATT, it does not go to 1-800-CALL-ATT. It goes to AT&T's business office or like customer service something.
Well, right, but you can still make a collect call from 1-800-288-2880, but if you dial 1-800-288-2880, a different company has picked up the telephone.
Really?
Picked up the
telephone. IntelliCall Operator Services.
No, they didn't.
Please enter the area code and number you are calling, followed by the pound sign.
802-321-4225.
Yeah, great.
Oh, this is going to be great.
I bet you it doesn't
work. To make a collect call, press 1 now.
Yeah, I dare you, Alex. Or
at the tone, please speak your name.
Rebel.
Please hold. There may be a few moments of silence while we process your call.
Well, we're not going to hear it. Oh, wow. That's not silence.
No, that's annoying hold music, yeah.
But I'm on the line. How are they going to call?
Yeah, they're not. It's going to – well, we only have one phone line attached to that. But Google Phones or Google Voice, whatever they call themselves, they will route it to their voicemail.
Oh, until you get a message after I hang up.
Yeah, and maybe we'll hear it sometime. So,
yeah.
Oh, now it's silent.
Just play it on the air. Oh, it's not on the air anymore.
It's classical guitarist.
We're still there.
Yeah, yeah. That is mm-hmm. something. No, Kyle, you had something.
Well, the calls being collect, I think I was going to speak to that, disappearing.
And well, stuff. Apparently you can do it with this service.
Yeah, I mean, we should try calling the 802-321-4225 number when Rebel hangs up and see what happens.
Yeah, do that when I hang up.
Yeah, well, good luck getting in before another caller calls.
We're not rushing you off.
Yeah. So tell people
not to call.
Oh, okay, that's easy. Yeah, I'll just tell people not to do something. they'll listen to me. That'll work. How long, Alex, are they going to keep us holding for while you try a collect call to a number that's busy?
Oh, it just indicated that we're now holding for an operator.
Oh, a human.
Yeah, and I think we've switched over to some Baroque acoustic guitar now as well.
It's probably an operator in India or something. You know, the same people who call you and say that your social security
number is... What number would you like to call?
802-321-4225, please.
Is this a collect call, sir?
Yes, it is.
May I have your name?
My name is Rebel.
Okay, Sir Rebel, please hold.
You got it.
Sir Rebel. She's just doing the same thing.
Yeah. I think now it's just a person doing it rather than a patent-holding artificial intelligence in Australia.
So, Alex, you are now known as Sir Rebel.
Hello, Sir Rebel.
Yes.
I'm very sorry, but I only receive a voicemail. Is there anything else?
Are you sure it wasn't a human?
Yes, sir.
How do you know?
It seems like I think, sir, that is a recorded voicemail.
Okay. It says, all right. Well, maybe we'll try back in a little bit. Is there any way I can just build a call to that number and leave a message?
Okay, sir. I suggest that when you dial the number directly to your phone, just add 1 before the area code, since this is a long-distance number. Is there anything else?
Can I make a collect call to any country from here?
I'm sorry. Yes, sir, but unfortunately, we are not allowed to dial an international number. But you can dial 00 for a long-distance operator.
Okay, so I couldn't call Albania?
Yes, sir, but you need to hang up this call and dial 00 for a long-distance operator.
Alex,
okay,
leave this poor person
alone. What company
alone.
Is this that I called?
This is the IntelliCall Operator Service, sir.
Okay, God, this is not AT&T, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and where are you located?
We are located in Southeast Asia, sir.
Okay, great. That's good to know. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you for using a valuable operator service. Operator is connecting.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there you have it.
Wow, I was feeling sorry for her.
I knew sounded like they were in like the Philippines or something.
Well, Southeast Asia, you're going to have to deal with that. Rob, go ahead.
I love so much that there is a company out there that, like, first of all, the phone number wasn't enough interest to AT&T, you know, mega corporation AT&T, to keep paying to maintain. So they just let it go. And I love that some other ramshackle phone company somewhere was shady enough to go scoop that up and take it on themselves. I have respect for this scrappy little Southeast Asian phone company.
Well, I don't know if they're Southeast Asian per se. What's their name? Intellicall? Intellidial? I mean, I've heard of them before.
Yeah.
Or something. Intellicall used to be a Kokak company.
Yeah, I think they used to be a Kokak company. Maybe even a prison company, you know, prison phone calls.
Hold on. Let's call this one more time. Let's
if get you get that woman again.
Operator Services.
Intellicall Operator Services.
Yeah, I think they were amongst the first Kokak people, I think. I could be wrong. But that's what, when you name a company Intella anything, it's going to be mixed up with all other companies as well.
Yes, of course.
But wow.
But interesting, fun experiment.
Yeah. All brought to you by Rebel and now Sir Rebel.
That's right.
I'll play with this number too and see if maybe I could call my cell phone collect. Or maybe
give it a shot.
You know, the old MCI number, I always have trouble remembering this. It's 1-800-444 Four, right. That's it. Right. If you call that, it'll read back your phone number.
Oh, really?
Really? Not 1-800 my ANI is?
Well, maybe two, but I'm saying that number, which I've already forgotten, will do that as well. A lot like they used to do back in the MCI days.
Hmm.
Huh.
Well, 1-800 my ANI is does not work anymore.
I'm sorry to hear that. Mm. All right, Rebel, anything else? We're going to move on.
No, I guess not. Well, do not call yet. Let's try calling the thing collect.
Oh, boy. All right, let's see if that works. I kind of doubt it's going to, but we'll try. Okay, thank you, Rebel.
Well, Alex, dial it now, and then when the thing comes on, I'll hang up.
Take your direction from Rebel, Alex, and do what he says.
I'm doing it right now. Here we go. You got it. Yep. And then I'm going to go on mute.
Intellicall Operator Services. Please enter the area code and number you're calling, followed by the pound sign. To make a collect call, press 1 now. To build to
is Rebel
the tone, please speak your name.
Is Rebel still there?
Sir Rebel.
I'm going to hang up now.
All right, hang up now, Rebel. Good talking to you.
There may be a few moments of silence while we process your call.
Let's see what happens. Okay, here we go. It's exciting. Hello? Hello, I'm picking up the phone.
Call Operator Services.
Sir Rebel.
Is calling collect. However, collect calls are not allowed to your number.
Then why are
you
calling me?
Pay for this call with a credit card.
To
accept this call, press 1. To deny this call, press 0 now. Please enter your choice now.
What did you hit, Kyle? What number did you hit?
0.
You hit 0. If you had hit 1, I wonder what we could have done. It would have prompted us for a credit card number, and then we could have had all kinds of fun with that. Wow. Do you think any number will accept a collect call from them? Because I don't think we put blocking on that line, but we might have.
It's fascinating, though. They're not Southeast Asian. They appear to be cursory search brings up incorporations in a whole bunch of different U.S. states. Which doesn't look shady at all.
No.
But yeah, it's fascinating. I remember back in the days of these phone numbers, you know, AT&T had theirs, MCI had theirs. There was a little company somewhere called, I think, Pelican. And what they did was they got the phone numbers 1-800-3825-ATT and 3825-MCI and 3825-SPR for Sprint. And
to interrupt, Rob, but I think another call should be coming in this time. Let's see if it's an actual operator then.
Oh, awesome. That's you?
Yes.
Hello?
I'm Suri Pandali, and I'm answering a call. However, he is not responding.
Okay. You know what? Can we try
I'm right here.
I think that it's you know, I just got a message from them that they were away from the phone. They just missed it. Yep.
Wow. Don't forget to pick up where you left off, Rob.
Coming through.
Let's pick up the phone. Hello? Hello?
Yes, I have a collect call from Rebel. Would you like to pay for this call with a credit card?
A what kind of call?
I have a collect call from Rebel.
What?
However, collect calls are not allowed to your number. So would you like to pay for this call with a credit card?
You're asking me for a credit card number?
Yes.
I think you know that you're not supposed to give out credit card numbers when people call you. That's rule number one. Yeah, I just...
Thanks for answering the call.
You're very welcome.
Have a nice day.
You do. You too. I mean, otherwise, she sounded like a perfectly pleasant person. But, okay, Alice, can we stop wasting these poor people's time over there? Because
these poor people.
I feel sorry for them. I really do, dealing with us. Rob, now, you were saying.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about the company that had 1-800-382-5-ATT, which I always thought was a bit of scrappy fun from back then.
What does 385 spell out?
Well, we're not on the airwaves right now, but I feel professional enough as a part of this program to not say what it spells in letters on the air
the
internet.
Now I know. Yes. I remember, we found people at the local college that had that number as a suffix. You know, it was 632 plus those numbers, which I don't even say the numbers. And we'd call them and make their lives miserable. Good old times. Okay, well, our phone number is still there, so you can call it now. 802-321-4225, except somebody already called. So let's take this call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. It's Philip from Missouri.
Wait a minute. That was a different voice.
Oh.
Did your voice change?
No, I get tired and I sound a little different. My accent shows more.
Okay, I just want to hear a different voice at first.
I think he was surprised to get the answer so quick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Have you ever heard of a site called McBroken.com?
No, not me. Mick Broken?
Yeah. McBroken.com.
What do they have? What's on their site?
Well, it tracks McDonald's. Broken ice cream machines.
Yeah, what's with the ice cream machines? I keep hearing about some scandal involving McDonald's ice cream machines.
Yes. Yes, this is what this is about. You see, the theory is like, late at night when it usually happens, they say it's broken. Like, or when the non-24-hour one's about to close down or something like that. Right? So the theory is they're saying that it's broken, so they can get it cleaned, because it's like a 4-hour clean cycle on it, from what I heard, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they started a site up to track which ice cream machines are reported down through the drive-thru, whatever else, on McBroken.com. Well, this company decided to make an app for the ice cream machine, because when it breaks down, it gets out of code, and nobody knows how to read it unless you have the manual and whatnot. And the what it does, it takes the code from the machine and it puts it to plain English, and it will text the manager, whoever's in charge of cleaning the machine, so that they can fix it. Like saying, well, there's a belt broken. It'll say, well, there's a belt broken, instead of some weird code. Well, the company, McDonald's, heard about this and decided to sue the company. And the company that made the ice cream machine decided to jump in and say, well, you can't do this. So after they sued them and did a cease and desist on it, McDonald's decided, well, this is a good idea. Why don't we do this ourselves? So they basically stole the idea for themselves, and the company is now suing McDonald's and the ice cream machine company to be able to... Well, it makes sense. I don't know why they don't do this anyway. Why would you make it so cryptic on an ice cream machine to be able to fix it? I mean, it's the same thing with the computer, right? Especially Windows, that gives you hex codes all the time. Why can't you just tell me what's going on, like my RAM is bad?
This is a great story, and it has a lot of good reminders about design and... the trade-offs, and then companies that have monopolies that then choose other companies, and then those companies become sort of parasitic and sort of thrive off the inefficiency of the very large company that awarded them a contract. Very similar to warfare, I guess, but in this case, I think the ice cream machine company is Taylor, and the machine itself was incredibly complicated, had a lot of special parts and stuff, and was really cumbersome. The whole teardown and the cycling of it. There's been some great reporting on this. I can't remember what piece I read in particular that was so detailed, but that there is that aspect to it, that this machine itself was kind of never going to be a workhorse for this ice cream dispensing in the way that, and with the volume of customers, and it just wasn't up to the task, but it was still the machine they used.
But so many other places sell ice cream. They don't have this problem. What's with McDonald's? Maybe they shouldn't be doing this. They can't figure out how to run it.
My thing is, why not just make it where you can understand to begin with? There's no reason why we can't do this on cars either, so you will know what's going on, so you know what to tell the mechanic instead of having a car in there all day.
Yeah.
You know? There's no reason why we can't have, like, clear, concise information on how our computers break down or how our machines break down, that you have to go get, like, a specialist going to charge you more money than they're worth and take more time than they're worth. I mean, I understand you're going to need a specialist, you're going to need a mechanic or something like that, but, you know, it's going to, if you don't know what's going on, it's going to waste more time and more money. Well, I guess that's the point, right? Because if you're charged by an hour, that's more time to get to fix the machines and whatnot.
Well, the crux of this story, too, is the person that was selling or wanted to coordinate and get kind of McDonald's blessings was, they were just trying to make it better, and they, I think, built some sensing. And that was the reporting hardware, and sold it as a kit to managers of McDonald's that really had all this equipment as part of their franchise license. So they're sort of roped into, just like you have to get a, there you go, yep. Just like you get a fryer for your French fries and all that, you had to get this machine. And so the inventor like was trying to sell this kit that would report the error codes and make it more understandable, and the like magic key codes and buttons were bypassed in how the kit was figured out. I think I'm paraphrasing the whole story, but then McDonald's basically copied the idea, and now the inventor is kind of going after both the ice cream company and McDonald's. It is really fascinating stuff, and all just based on somebody trying to make something work when it just was designed not to be that reliable.
Yeah, it's just gotten to the point that if, you know, when a computer posts and it does a certain amount of beeps, it's like, okay, well, the RAM's done cedar or something like that, right? You know, that's something that's real easy to understand and so forth. But when Windows breaks and it gives me a hex code 0x0008F whatever.
Oh, that's a bad one.
Yeah, you gotta Google it. I mean, we're at the point where AI can, like, diagnose some of these things, right? And everything's got sensors on it and whatnot. And I should be able to see, you know, if my computer's not starting up, it's like, well, the video card's out or the power supply needs to be replaced. Or just anything like that, you know? It should be just plain English. There's no excuse for this cryptic nonsense anymore on this stuff.
Yeah, my point that really gets me going about this too is that we're in an age where a lot of these devices and machines and tools themselves run on computers. So this is exactly when you can set up accounts and you can set up levels of access and permission.
Yeah,
that's
like
why an administrator
could be the manager and whatnot.
Easily. And I get bothered about this with cars, too, because you get told, oh, it's too complicated. You know, something might break. Well, why don't you make a version that allows consumers to have an intelligent conversation with the manufacturer of the equipment?
Yeah, you do this, Kyle. We see a check engine light come on. What does that mean? It means take it to the dealer and they'll charge you a lot of money. Or you can use a device like the device you got your hands on to read the code and have it explained to you in that sense, so you know what it is that broke that made the check engine light come on. What are those things called?
Well, and you can tell what the level of seriousness. You're basically having the vehicle tell you what is going wrong with it. But there are a lot of different vehicle scanners, and I found one that I particularly like. I'm super happy with what's offered for a particular make, but it's not across the board, and not all the manufacturers are as helpful.
It's called a vehicle scanner.
Yeah, there's they're like OBD2 scanners, and now the vehicle systems are getting to different generations of communication standard. Mm-hmm. But that is fun because you get to know exactly what the part is, and if I'm taking it to a dealer or something and they want to know what the problem is, I'll just paste in the error code because I've
already
scanned it.
They don't like that. They seem kind of miffed that you went in and found out what the problem was before you went to them.
Yeah, it is kind of irritating, you know, like kind of in a know-it-all way.
But they also know not to rip you off because you know what you're talking about.
Right, I know exactly what it is, and they still charge me the diagnostic even though I already did the diagnostic myself.
You should charge them the diagnostic.
I don't want to push it, but that's the kind of intelligent conversation you should have, especially if you're a business just trying to run some machinery that customers expect to work.
I want to know if you can change things with this scanner, I believe. You can change the country of your car. What I want to know is, if you change the country of your car from United States to Canada, does everything suddenly appear in the metric system? Does anybody out there know this? I'd like to find out. You know, as long as you have access to these things, maybe you can make changes and things that the dealer says is impossible. Write to us, oth@2600.com, if you have any insight in that.
Yeah, we're working with a lot of different kinds of systems like this, and we're always curious what people find. Yeah. Especially when people build these things, they build them worldwide, but then they take features away for certain markets. And oftentimes, you can plug in and adapt different things. So that's the kind of curious mindset, like E's talking about, switching countries or switching methods of increments of measurement.
What kind of feature would they take away in one place and not another?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe there was usually it's trim packages on vehicles, but uh-huh. Maybe it's something that's impractical for a certain environment. You don't need some kind of cooling or warming function that in one market you'd have or in another you wouldn't, or maybe some kind of lighting thing that comes on a better version. Well, the model itself, to keep their costs low, it already is built, you know, has the same locations and parts for that will work with it. It just didn't come with that. So when you start looking at it a little bit like from the manufacturer's perspective, you realize that you can make and change things to your liking.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of...
They tell you can't, but I want a 24-hour clock instead of a 12-hour clock. I want Celsius instead of Fahrenheit. These things, I know the car can do it. I know it's possible. So don't tell me it can't be done.
And that's my point, that people should embrace it. If you're trying to sell people on uniqueness or some customization, again, you've got computers all over, especially vehicles. They're very popular, and they're a huge investment for people right now. You can make levels of control and access completely custom, and you should consider, if you want to sell this stuff to people that care about them and want to have it work for their investment, you know, for a while and not just be something they dispose of immediately, you know, climate and consumerism aside, you should empower them to be able to communicate with the equipment, and that makes everybody safer, makes service and parts and stuff work and get out the door, you know, to the right fix.
Go ahead, Alex.
And conversely, I'm really curious about, if you change the region of your car, from, let's say, the United Kingdom to the United States, would you then lose the ability to make a collect phone call to your own cell phone?
Just about managed to forget about all that, but yeah, it's those questions are raised.
That's it. Yep.
And anything else from our caller?
Trump is going to be a commentator on the boxing match this weekend for pay-per-view.
Oh my God. Maybe he'll inadvertently go into the ring and we can all watch. Rob, go ahead.
It's not just any day this weekend. It's on September 11th.
Oh my God, you're kidding me.
No, and he's probably going to put that story out. Oh, was there?
I'm sorry, Rob. I didn't hear you. What?
You might think a former president of this country might have something more dignified.
Both can't talk at the same time. Okay, only Rob talk now.
I'm just saying you would think that a former president of this country would have something more dignified to do on that particular day.
Not in his case, no. But even I'm offended by that. So that tells you. Okay, listen, great hearing from you again. Keep listening and let us know if you learn anything else.
Oh, do you set Photoshop for covers?
I'm sorry, do we what?
Photoshop for covers for the magazine.
Do we use Photoshop?
Do we accept?
Well, do you accept Photoshop covers?
Well, we generally have a cover artist. If you were to do his job, it might result in some issues. But you know, that shouldn't quell your creativity. If you have something interesting to share with us, share it. And it might not be the front cover, but it could be something. You know.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious. I just get bored sometimes.
What we really need are articles. So if people out there want to write articles, you know, like this McDonald's ice cream machine, I think that'd be a great series of articles. I'd love to have all the particulars and specifics. And
okay, I'll try it out. I got a lot of classes to deal with, and I'm starting a job next week, but I'll try to put something together if you'll accept it.
Sure, yeah.
Spread the word and send something in, please.
All right, take care.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
We can try to take one more phone call. We only have a minute or so left. 802-321-4225, but it's going to have to be quick and relatively short. Alex, how are you doing? I keep seeing all this motion. Have you been holding your phone the whole 2 hours?
Yeah, pretty much. I've been holding my phone and placing it down, but then the vibrations from the sound cause it to fall.
I figured that's what that was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's been happening a lot. Thankfully, I was on mute, I think, every time that happened.
Okay, we have another call, so let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi, guys. This is Tim from Connecticut.
Hey, Tim. What's up?
Just wanted to pass on a couple of things that you were chatting about earlier about I was working with contracts one fine day where I used to work, and as we were going over the legalities of things about whether the company would be liable, etc., my boss gave me a very, very important sentence that I've just never forgotten. He looked at me right in the eyes and he said, "Companies don't go to jail. People go to jail."
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So as we market this thing to say, well, you know, the corporation did it or whatever, it comes down to who sits in behind the bars. The other thing that I thought you just might like to know, I got my summer issue today.
Oh, great. Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah, so wherever it launches from, it got to Connecticut today.
Wow, that's that's good to know. Good to know. It's starting to show up everywhere.
There you go. That's about all I had.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Sure. Have a good night.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
A lot of calls tonight.
And great to hear from people.
Yeah, it really is. Really is. But we're going to have to call it quits because we're getting tired and cranky. I guess the end of another Off the Hook Overtime.
We'll be back. But until then, send us your letters at oth@2600.com. We'd love to hear what you have to say. If you heard about something that got hacked, or if you've hacked something, or maybe you're thinking about hacking some things, mm-hmm. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. Rob, you've got something to say.
Just that it's Star Trek Day, so live long and prosper.
Is it Star Trek Day? I mean, a lot of references to Star Trek tonight. I did not know that.
It's the 55th anniversary of the premiere.
Wow. I apologize to the person calling in. We're not going to take that call because we're tired and we're done for the night. But please call us next week or write to us. And don't make that symbol, Rob. He's making the Vulcan symbol. We're not that nerdy, are we? I guess we are. Alex, I know you wanted to leave early, but you stayed for the whole time.
You guys, you know, dragged me back in here. It was an engaging show. I loved the phone calls. And, you know, one suggestion, I think, is that we should play with the phones more often on Off the Hook Overtime.
Well, it's hard when you only have one phone line and it's for incoming calls. But you solved that problem tonight with your cell phone.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I had an additional line next to my cell phone.
Our capabilities keep expanding.
To where they were in the 1990s, but yes, it's good to play with the technology. I didn't know you could still make collect calls. Wow. Even though that one didn't work, but whatever, it was still fun. Probably not for the operator in Southeast Asia, but it was something that we'll remember.
Yeah, learning experience.
All right, guys. Good seeing you all, and until next week.